I want you to turn to James chapter 1. For those of you who I sent notes, I didn't include the scripture in there. But usually when I come on a Sunday morning, the Holy Spirit has made a few alterations along the way, which is also always a good thing because he knows more than I do. But he's in me, praise God. So we can work with that. I entitled this Christian Selfies, How We Look at Ourselves. I do Facebook, and so I see some of that as people post and so on. I haven't really done that myself. A little scary to see yourself sometimes. You know, have you ever? We were visiting Corning Glassware, I believe it, then one time, and it was a long time ago. When you came in, there was a camera someplace, and then a TV there, and you could see yourself. And if you've ever been in that situation where you've never seen yourself, and all of a sudden you do, it's like, do I really look like that? You know, when Joanne cuts my hair, it's like, I'm looking at this hair coming down there and thinking, when did it get to be that color? Because my selfie is brown hair, you know, not all this gray, white hair that's fallen off of me. But the way we see ourselves is critical. The way we see ourselves, the way we talk about ourselves, the way we think about ourselves, and actually the image that we have in our hearts, which is going to be the basis of everything, really, when it comes down to it. I grew up in a Christian home, good parents that I know loved me. We knew we were loved coming up. But even in the midst of all that, you can develop, and we all do, we develop some kind of a selfie. We develop some kind of a way that we look at ourselves. And even when you're told you're valuable, if you don't see yourself as valuable, it's like the expression used to be water off a duck's back. It just doesn't stay. It doesn't change our lives until we begin to do something about it and deal with our own image. I grew up very introverted, and it shouldn't have been in the family that I grew up in, because all the other things were in place, but for some reason that, you know, in some ways I'm still dealing with, of seeing myself as God sees me, as God made me. James chapter 1, starting verse 22. But be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. We don't even need the enemy to deceive us if we're hearing but not doing anything about what we hear. Not just putting it into action, but applying, if you think about it that way. Remember my series from way back when, information application, and then there's a transformation. So there needs to be an application of what we hear. We've heard a lot of messages. We've heard a lot of messages. It's the messages that we're applying that are actually making some difference in our lives. Verse 23, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. I've noticed that I have this right, that a lot of the selfies were somebody stand in front of a big mirror, probably usually in the bathroom somewhere, and take their smartphone and take a picture of the reflection of themselves in the mirror, and then post that on Facebook or whatever it happens to be. I mentioned Diane sometimes, the ones who do a lot of selfies. And you wonder, well, there were different things behind that. I'm not trying to be critical or judgmental, but I think for some, they see something good. And they think everybody else should see something good too. So they're going to send it around so everybody can see. I think some just don't see much good. And they're hoping that somebody else will find something good in the presentation as they send it forth. But you notice here it says that you can look into the perfect law of liberty, which to me is the Word of God. You look in the Word and you find out what it says about you. And in a message like this morning, I'm going to encourage you who you are in Christ. But then you can walk away and completely forget. Because there's another image on the inside that really has very little to do with the outside. Well, it only has to do with it. It'll change the outside if the inside image changes. When you don't think that you look very good on the outside, if you can change the inside, I think maybe that's what Peter was talking about in 1 Peter 3, where he said, women, don't be all worried about the hair and the makeup and the jewelry and all that kind of stuff. It's the inner person. Because when you change that, you look better on the outside. Some people wouldn't have all the features maybe that people, whatever society says is beautiful, but if they have the right things on the inside, they look good. They glow wherever they go. And that's what we want to have working for us, male or female, either way, have the right image on the inside. I mean, we need to go and look at the mirror. We need to look into the mirror of the Word of God. Why do we read the Word? Because we need to look in there and remind ourselves. You look at the natural mirror every day, probably a few times a day, and we need to look in that supernatural mirror and remind ourselves of who we are. And then apply that in the way that we talk about ourselves, in the way that we see ourselves. And when anybody else comes along and says, that's not who we are, then we can just reflect that. That can be the water off the duck's back, because it doesn't have anything to do with who we are, what they think we are, but this is what God's Word says we are. And we come back to that. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's put some scripture together. In Genesis chapter 1, I guess in a sense we're going to take a selfie this morning. And you can send that out on Facebook, praise God. If you can find a way to do it, send the scriptures out there. That'll work. Genesis 1:31. Now God has been going along, and God said, and this is the way it was. And the chapter started out with the Holy Spirit was hovering over the face of the deep. He'd wait for God to say something, He'd bring it to pass. Praise God. Sounds like what He wants to do today. Sounds like what He wants to do today.
Amen.
We see what's available, we speak it, and He brings it to pass. So he's done all this creation for these 5 days. Now the sixth day, and the sixth day was when He created human beings. And every day, every time He created something, He said, it's good. And He created this, and it was good. He created this, and it was good. And then He creates human beings, comes down to the end, and He says, and God saw everything that He'd made, and indeed it was very good. You look it up in Strong's, excellent, upright. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day, and then God rested. It's almost like God said, yeah, all right, I did a good job here. I mean, even God needs to pat himself on the back every once in a while. I think, you did good. And it's like this is what I was after. This is what I wanted to create. And this is what He had in mind to start with. God didn't have in mind all the fall and all the junk that's happened in the meantime. He had in mind perfect creation, a perfect race of human beings that were going to do well. Well, unfortunately, they didn't. And we have Adam's fall and all the things that happened in between time. So we come to the New Testament, 2 Corinthians, chapter 5. Our verse is down to verse 21, but I'm going to look at verse 17. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Well, we needed that. We needed a recreation. We had a creation, and now we needed a recreation back into the image that God intended to start with. Teasing about birthdays and everything this morning, and really, in a lot of ways, the date of our new birth is more important than the date of our physical birth, because we were born from above. We were reborn. We were made new on the inside. A new creature, a new species of being that did not before exist has come into existence. And it's important that we, you know, I know that you know that, but we act like it's, I'm still the same old one. I'm still, and we think about all the junk that we brought this far, and we have. We brought a lot of junk along with us in our soulish realm, in our way of thinking, in our image of ourselves and all those things, but that's not who we are. And so we need to take a regular look of in ourselves at ourselves in the perfect law of liberty, in the Word of God, and see who we are there and remind yourself. You know, this is why, you know, I say read the Bible every day. Make confessions of the Word and so on, but not in a rote, I have to do this kind of way, but in a way where you're actually thinking about, well, what does that mean? You know, you can have a whole list of things that scriptures that you say about yourself every day. Stay, the Lord has made up. I'm rejoicing, be glad that you right along, and get it done, and have it produce nothing at all. Or you can think about each one as you say it. Even if you've said it every day for the last so many years, every time. I'm a born-again child of God. Well, what does that mean? Filled with the Spirit. I'm forgiven of all my sins. You say these things with, and really let that sink in and become part of you. And what we're doing is we're having an opportunity to change our inner image and change our heart, which is where we want things to get to. Praise God. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 1. Paul says, by the Spirit, and you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. And he goes on to talk about what that was like for the next couple of verses. And then he says, but God. But God, but God, but God. So rich is he in his love that he reached down and made salvation available to us. We were dead in trespasses and sins. We were, wow, I guess if you think about it, we were zombies. We were live, dead people walking around. Didn't look too good either. You know, and I think we need to remind ourselves of those things, because I was in Bible school and I remember different guys would sit around and we had a break time at night. We'd get down to the place where we'd get some soda or something like that on campus, and people would sit around tables and talk about different things. You hear guys talking about the good old days. The good old days. Remember when we got drunk and something tells me they've forgotten some of those things that went along with that. And they weren't the good old days. The good old days started when we got born again. Amen. Actually, the good old days go farther back than that, when Jesus came, with the story that we remember this time of year, but not just the baby, but the grown-up Jesus, who paid the price for this so that we didn't have to remain dead in trespasses and sins, but we could come alive in him. Romans chapter 12. Verse 2. I'll read this. I know that you're familiar with these. You're probably coming to scriptures that are already underlined. It should be. And in the Amplified, it adds some things that are interesting. Do not be conformed to this world, to this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external, superficial customs. We are supposed to be different, not because we're trying to be different, but just because we are different. But be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals and new attitude, so that you may prove for yourselves what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in his sight for you. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, he says over in chapter 4. Be entirely renewed. Be the entire renewal of your mind. We work on the way that we think because the way that we continue to think is going to affect our heart. And we've had, it's not only the thoughts that you think, but the pattern that you think in that becomes important. When certain things happen, what's the pattern of your thought? If you receive an unexpected bill, what's the pattern of your thought? If you can receive an unexpected blessing, what's the pattern of your thinking? Where do you go with that? All those things are this. Are the basis of those things are this image that we have on the inside, this selfie, the way that we see ourselves. And if we see ourselves as failing, if we see ourselves as struggling, if we see ourselves even say, I just can't change. Come on. I can't change. This is who I am. You can. But if that's the image that you have of yourself, then you can't. The way that we think about ourselves is how we are. Our perception is our reality. That's the way that it is. So this is why we work on our thoughts. When we catch ourselves thinking certain ways, we have to catch ourselves and get away from that, and not just try to not think that, but think something else in its place. Put off, put on, and in the middle, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Amen? All right. Go over to back to Ephesians again, chapter 1. There are some things that we need to know, and we need to not only get a hold of this, because most of you sitting here, if not all of you, are born again, been born again for a while. But when we help someone get born again, what happens from that moment is of utmost importance. And if the right things don't happen, if they don't get the right information, then they have nothing to apply, and the transformation on the outside doesn't happen, and they become a Christian in dormancy. They're not really going where God wants them to go. So we need to be understanding this for ourselves and understanding this to help other people out. And this, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, talks about one of those ways, if you think about it. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. His grace makes available to us what we didn't deserve and gives us the ability to do things that we couldn't do on our own, praise God. And one of those things is recognizing the forgiveness of sins. Because we live in a world that's a guilty world. It's a guilt-ridden world that judges ourselves. People judge themselves, and they judge everyone else around them. And then we come to God, and he said, I've forgiven you. It's taken care of. We say, that's nice, and we go back to judging ourselves again. You all look at the halo's all going up there, but this is what we do to ourselves. We go back, and it's not that we want to say, oh, do whatever you want. That's not what it's talking about. He's talking about from the moment as we sit here this morning, everything passed back from this, not only what happened before we were born again, but what happened since, it's been taken care of. It's been covered. Somebody paid the price for that. Amen. So for us to make ourselves continue to pay the price is a slap in the face of Jesus, really, when it comes down to it. What he did wasn't enough. I'm going to have to do more. I'm going to have to feel bad about myself. And that's not what God had in mind at all. Your sins have been forgiven. I looked up the word forgiven in Strong's. Letting them go as if they had never been committed. Letting them go as if they'd never been committed. Because you might say to yourself, yeah, I know I've been forgiven, but boy, I still did it. Yeah? You going to make yourself pay? He's quiet here this morning. Well, it's what we do to ourselves. And when you know what? When you're hard on yourself, you're hard on other people too. Remember the expression, hurting people hurt people? Why? Because they're hurting, so why don't you hurt along with me? Praise God, we'll bring you all in. when you're in pain yourself, what was Jesus' admonition to us? Love your neighbor as so. Some of your neighbors might say, please don't do that. I've seen how you love yourself. I'd just assume you didn't. Thank you. So we are the right things on the inside. It's not becoming in that sense. It is becoming what we already are. We are a new creature in Christ Jesus. Understand what I'm saying? We're not trying to become something new in that sense. What we're trying to do is live on the outside by who we are on the inside. And if you can't see who you are on the inside and think about who you are on the inside and talk about who you are on the inside, you ain't going to be that person in manifestation. All right, so first of all, forgiveness of sins. 2 Corinthians 5:21 is our verse, and for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That needs to be drummed into our heart, head, vocal cords, everything else. We're righteous. We're made like we're supposed to be. I'm telling you, if you went to every church in this Capital District area this morning and you stood up in front and said, how many of you are righteous, you wouldn't get many hands raised. Because from the clergy, whatever you want to call us, on down, it's been drummed into us that you got to make people feel guilty. You got to make them know that they need to change. You got to attack them and judge them and get them to judge themselves to change. And it hasn't worked. Amen. For 2,000 years, it hasn't worked. Amen. It starts from righteousness. When you know that you're the way that you're supposed to be, then you can go by that and begin to live like you're supposed to be. Live like you're supposed to live. But as long as I think that I'm not righteous and I'm trying some way to get righteous, it's very difficult to live that way. You know, Paul did a great job. I love Romans chapter 10. And he starts out talking about he loves his fellow Jews. But he said they've got zeal. They're trying hard. They really are. There's a lot of people around us, and we were some of those they're right. They're trying to do the right thing. They really want to do the right thing. But they're starting out from the wrong place. They're starting out thinking, I'm not right. When I get right, when I get this straightened out, you know, how many times have we said that or heard other people? When I stop doing this and when I start doing that, when I get older, when I get the right job, when I get the right relationship, whatever it happens to be. And if you don't, you have to start from that, knowing who you are. And then when you start from there, now I can begin to straighten up how I'm acting, because I am the right person on the inside. I can do it. I can change. My sins are forgiven. I'm righteous. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Inheritance means you receive something because someone died. Someone died. And everything belonged to him. The Lord Jesus. Not only did he die, but he's raised from the dead to see that we get the inheritance that now belongs to us because he's brought us into the family. And he has, past tense, qualified us for all the promises. According to Strong's, to be qualified and to be rendered fit, that we're put in a position where we have met all the qualifications. I need to be healed. Well, the qualifications have been met. I need some extra finances. Well, the qualifications have been met. I just need some strength to get through this. Well, the qualifications have been met. Well, I could use some peace. Well, the qualifications have been met. Already been taken care of, and the inheritance is mine, and I don't have to wait for something else to happen. The one who's passing it on to me has already died, and he's already raised from the dead, praise God, and all the qualifications have been taken care of. My sins are forgiven, been made righteous, and I'm qualified for all the promises of God. That's the place to start from. How many wish we started our Christian walk, you know, knowing all those things, praise God. But you know what? We can start from here. And when you know that, you begin to live right. You don't want to just do anything that comes along. You don't want to be involved in all the junk and everything of this world. You want to do the right things because it's not, that's not who I am. I'm this person over here. Take a selfie. Praise God. Proverbs chapter 18. Verse 20 and 21. Read it to the, this also out of the Amplified. Probably another couple of verses that are underlined. Proverbs 18, verse 20. A man's moral self shall be filled with the fruit of his mouth, and with the consequence of his words, he must be satisfied whether good or evil. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they who indulge it shall eat the fruit of it for death or life. Notice in verse 20, and with the consequence of his words, he must be satisfied whether good or evil. We get to choose. It becomes almost a, what's the word I want? We get hooked on it. We're addicted, yeah, addicted to talking about ourselves in certain ways. And like I said, I grew up introverted, and I had this sense that one of the parts of the introversion was, introversion, is that a word? I'm making it up as I go. Was nobody's really wants to listen to me, to what I have to say. I don't know if they what I don't know what's behind that. Doesn't matter. So when I begin to recognize that the calling on my life, but Lord, nobody's really interested in what I have to say. So you know there had to be a change and probably why the process took so long is coming along to the point where I could at least talk for a few minutes and somebody would say, I was all right. I remember my mom passed on a message from my dad. Say, you can tell a pretty good story. I don't know quite what he meant with that, but I took that as a good thing, praise God. But you know, and then along the way, this family hereditary disease. And I've noticed... I'm trying to show you how these things happen. I noticed that people would ask, what's wrong with your foot? And they all of a sudden people are interested. Well, tell us about it. Oh, okay. And they wanted to hear. And so you get addicted to talking. So, and in the introduction, oh, yeah, family disease. All this rare disease and all this kind of stuff. And people are interested. Wow, okay. And it's like now you're somebody. Listen, you can be addicted to being sick. You can want that because of the attention it gives. Maybe mom gave you more attention when you were sick or whatever it happened to be. And because of that, we develop a selfie. This is who I am. And I like, even though I don't like the pain and the suffering that goes with that, I like the attention that I get from that. And it doesn't have to just be sickness or disease, can be poverty. I mean, I've heard people sit around and almost have a contest to see who's the poorest, who owes the most. You think you owe a lot of money. Let me tell you about the money that I owe. You're only that much behind on your credit cards. Let me tell you how much I'm behind on my credit cards. So that's our identity. This is who we become. Amen? So we got to change. Change the way that we look at ourselves, and this is talking about change the way that we talk about ourselves. I remember when we first started hearing our first cassette tape was Copeland talking about the power of the tongue. And we began to get that information about it's important what you say and what you don't say. There wasn't much to say for a while. How many of you found that to be true when you found that about confession? That's like... I don't know what to say because we had this image of ourselves and we were talking from that image and you recognize it becomes sin to say I'm sick because that's not who I am. So you learn to talk differently. Now, and for some people it's to say I'm righteous. To say I'm forgiven. Do you know what I did? Do you know who I've been? Forgive.
Amen.
Take a selfie. Praise God. So, what do we do about all this? I think it'd be a good idea to use your supernatural mirror. I don't know if we have any in the bookstore in Him, but that's the little book by Brother Hagin, In Him, and it goes through the scriptures in the New Testament to talk about who we are in Him. Because, and then you're looking at yourself in the mirror. You're finding out who you really are. And I know that we've talked about this for years, but just having that information doesn't do much good until you apply it. And you actually get the scripture and get even one verse of scripture. In Christ, in Him, we live and move and have our being. Well, you know, there, I don't know how many, but there's, New Testament is full of them. Scriptures like in Him, in whom, in Christ, in Jesus. And so you get even one, maybe put it on a 3x5 card, or man, type it into your cell phone, your smartphone. It'll get smarter. Put it in there and then look at it. Not just read it in the morning, but look at it during the day a couple times. Maybe every time you look in the natural mirror, you take a look at this supernatural mirror and take a selfie. It's not that you have to convince me or I have to convince you. I have to convince myself. You've got to convince yourself. This selfie is for you. You say, look, man, I'm looking pretty good. Righteous. Forgiven. Qualified. Praise God.